Well, you know, as I thought about this this gospel text tonight, and really all these scriptures, I really began to struggle with what is not an easy passage to get a handle on, this idea of Jesus being the bread of life. Obviously, he is, you know, we can think of sustenance and that bread is very important. We wouldn't live very long without food, all that sort of stuff. But as I began to really contemplate over this week, and we're heading into Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving being Thursday. And so, you know, I'm not one to do normal Thanksgiving sermons, but it occurred to me that this might be a helpful reflection on this time in our nation when we really try to be thankful for things, to consider what Jesus is driving at here in the sixth chapter of John's Gospel. And so, of course, I thought of going to Lowe's or Home Depot. You don't make the correlation? What's come on, you guys? Well, it's like this. You see, I have to make lots of trips to Lowe's and Home Depot because I'm too cheap to pay somebody else to repair my house, and I'm too lacking in knowledge to know it on my own. So oftentimes I will carry an elbow joint of a plumbing or something from the toilet or some carpentry project, and I will go in to the guys at Home Depot or Lowe's. See, I'm trying not to support just one, and I'll say, "Here, what do I do?" Other times I'll walk in, I'll say, "I need so and so." And I don't know if you've had this experience, but with me, it's usually, "No, sir, actually, that's not what you need. Put that back," you know, and they'll start taking things out of my hands, or, "Can I help you?" And I've got all that. And then they'll start grabbing all this other stuff and saying, "Here's actually what you need. This is the way you want to go about it." And you're fortunate if you get the master plumber or electrician, or I know it's scary. I mess with electricity every once in a while. But the carpenter, whatever it is, and you get the master one because they really are knowledgeable. And what I've realized is that I'm not going to put my confidence in the tool or the widget or the particular type of pipe that I think I may need. I'm really going to put my confidence in that master contractor, because he knows more, or she, there's some really knowledgeable women in those places too, knows much more than I do. I come in with a certain idea of what it is I need, and oftentimes it's completely off base. And I'm so thankful for those guys and men and women who know what they're doing. And it occurs to me that in a sense that's what Jesus is trying to draw the disciples and the crowd to as he addresses them in John 6. You see, there are lots of crowds of people that have been around Jesus, and they've just experienced one of his miraculous feedings, where like God in the desert with the children of Israel, when God rained down the manna and fed the people, Jesus has miraculously taken the fish and the loaves, and he has multiplied it, and he has fed them all. And then Jesus slips off. The disciples get in the boat, and they cross the Sea of Galilee, and it's one of those occasions where Jesus takes the shortcut and just goes across the sea himself, meets the disciples halfway, and enters the boat, arriving to the other side. Well, the crowd is really looking for Jesus. They have pursued him, and they find him on the other side of the sea, and they begin to question him, assuming somehow he had a second boat or something. There's a definite implication there that they don't think he crossed the water by walking on it. But Jesus confronts them, and he tells them basically what is in their hearts, which is, "Look, you're just coming to me because you got what you wanted. Something to eat. But you really shouldn't be working for things that are temporary. You see, you're going to be hungry physically tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. What you really should be doing is working for things that are eternal. A bread that will satisfy forever." And it enters this whole conversation where Jesus begins to turn them from simply thinking about God providing for them in the way that they want to be provided for. Lord, give us this bread. Give us this bread every day. Meet our needs the way Moses met the children of Israel's needs in the Old Testament for all that time. And Jesus says, no, quit looking to the provision and instead turn your focus to the provider. Here's what I want to say to you tonight. It seems to me that as we enter into this time of thanksgiving, we need to be mindful, thankful for the provider, for God who is our supplier, who meets our needs. Not so much concerned about Jesus doing the things that we think we need to have done, but for God who provides for our needs in ways that we can't even imagine. You see, I've come to a point where I realize that there are lots of things that I think I need. And oftentimes, I come to God with that laundry list. But being truly thankful of heart is not simply, God, thank you for, I needed these five things and you gave them all to me. And you did it by last Tuesday, and I really want to thank you for it. We're not careful, we can enter into a time of thanksgiving focusing simply on the things that God did for us. God, you kept us healthy this year. You helped me pay my mortgage. You did this or you did that. Things that in the natural we want, and so when we recognize that we've been given those, we thank God. But God is so much larger than that. He is our provider. Jesus has become the bread of life to us. He is our provision. And He provides for us things that we don't even think we need. Sometimes things we know we don't need. And yet that is what God gives us. And so I wonder if I can stretch you tonight as you think about Thanksgiving and consider entering into this Thanksgiving time thanking Jesus, your provider, for even the things that you really wish He hadn't provided you with. The Old Testament lesson is this great picture of in Deuteronomy when you come into the temple, how you're supposed to have a Thanksgiving service. You bring the first fruit, your tithe, your offering unto God, and you thank God because you are one who was called from Egypt along with the children of Israel. You were called out of bondage and slavery into a promised land. And all of us spiritually were in that same bondage and slavery to sin. We were bound to our own brokenness. And Jesus has set us free from that. But notice that in the Old Testament Deuteronomy passage, it's not a land that the children of Israel picked. It's one that God led them to. If you remember, Jim Hobby preached a sermon here about 2 months ago, I think it was, maybe a little bit longer, where he talked about how the place that God chose to give the children of Israel wasn't exactly the most prime real estate. You know, superpower to the north, superpower to the east, superpower to the south. You're going to be the little land bridge between these continents, and armies of the world are going to march over your territory. Not exactly the place you'd want to pick. I would have picked Switzerland, like I think I said right after Jim preached that sermon. But when we begin to take our eyes off of the provision and the things we want to be thankful for, and begin to be thankful for God, our provider, Jesus, our bread of life, that it expands us to be able to be thankful for things that we really didn't think we needed. For instance, last night when I was finishing up the funeral for my campus minister, he had died of fought a battle with prostate cancer for 8 years. I was privileged to go and preach in front of many Baptists. It was kind of fun. They had to watch me preach. And I was in the car and got a phone call from Arthur Toro, our missionary over in Jackson, Mississippi, our Kenyan missionary. He said, "Father Alex, it's Arthur Toro. It's 6:30. My daughters and myself and my soon-to-be son-in-law, we are getting in the car and we are driving to your house." And I'm not kidding, he did. That sucker showed up at 4:30 in the morning on my doorstep. We are frantically running around, putting out pallets and beds, and, you know, it was crazy. I didn't think I needed a Kenyan priest and his entourage in my living room at 4:30 in the morning. But you know what? We have been so blessed over the last 24 hours. We're tired, but we've been very, very blessed. It was a shot in the arm for us. Somebody said this morning, they said that my eyes were just lit up when I marched in there at about 8:05 Kenyan time with Father Toro to do the service. What if this Thanksgiving we entered into a mindset of being thankful for our provider, the bread of life, even into things that we don't even think we want or need or could possibly be a blessing? I think that's what Paul is getting at when he tells us in that Philippians passage to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's to have this thankful heart. We make our supplications, as Paul says, in prayer. We're not anxious, but we ask the Lord. We make our requests known to God, but then we let go. And we worship with thankful hearts God our provider. Lord, I didn't know I needed a Kenyan priest on my doorstep at 4:30. I did, though. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that provision. Lord, I didn't know I needed to walk through this difficulty. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. May it be a blessing to you. May I have a thankful heart as I walk through this difficult circumstance. Man, it would totally revolutionize Thanksgiving. Because like me, you know, you stand around on Thanksgiving and you thank God for all the things that you really did wish would happen and did happen. But God is working so much bigger than that. And I feel Him calling us to be like those in the crowd listening to Jesus and Him reminding them, don't simply look in your hands, but look to Him as the provider, the one who gives us all things and works through all things for His glory. That's why Paul can say, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Because a lot of times the circumstances would give you every other reason but to have thankfulness and to have a peace, right? And yet, when Jesus is your provider, when He is the one who is taking care of you, He is the very bread of life. Jesus says, this is the work, to believe on the one whom God has sent. Jesus the provider. Thank you, Lord. Thank you when I don't understand. Thank you when I'm confused. Thank you when I'm suffering. Thank you when I can't see your plan for the future. Thank you, Lord. I wonder, what do you have to be thankful that God has provided you with this year? As you think about 2007, how is Jesus your provider taking care of you? We've already heard from Ed, Judy. I didn't even dawn on me that you guys were going to be here. This will be your first week back. But what an incredible illustration. Who knows the things that God will use this really tough circumstance to bring glory to His name. This night, as you begin to prepare your hearts for the holidays, as you begin to be thankful for all that God has done, all the supplications He's met, remember Jesus' teaching that He is the bread of life, that He is the one God has sent to be our provider. And begin with me to look for the strength and the peace to say, thank you, Jesus, for providing things I needed and things I didn't even think I needed. Let's say together the litany that's found there in your news and notes on the front side. Let's say that before we go into the Nicene Creed. The congregation will respond with, we thank you, Lord, at the end of each stanza. And then we'll say together the doxology at the end. Let us give thanks to God our Father for all His gifts so freely bestowed upon us, for the beauty and wonder of your creation in earth and sky and sea. We thank you, Lord, for all that is gracious in the lives of men and women, revealing the image of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for our daily food and drink, our homes and families and our friends. We thank you, Lord, for minds to think, hearts to love, hands to serve. We thank you, Lord, for health and strength to work and leisure to rest and play. We thank you, Lord, for the brave and courageous who are patient in suffering and faithful in adversity. We thank you, Lord, for all valiant seekers after truth, liberty, and justice. We thank you, Lord, for the communion of saints in all times and places. We thank you, Lord. Above all, we give thanks for the great mercies and promises given to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. To Him be praise and glory with you, O Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.